and welcome back to Cannabis Insider. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. If it's your first time, I'm Abby Higginbotham, and with me, as always, is my fantastic co-host, Pato Little. Today, we are exploring the exciting world of cannabis products and the state of cannabis sales in the U.S. in 2024.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Abby. We are thrilled to have Cameron Sainer with us today, the mastermind behind Cosmic Brands, renowned for its innovative edibles and cutting-edge babes. So let's get started with the interview.
Let's go.
Hi, Cameron. Welcome to Cannabis
Insider.
How are you today?
Glad to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you. Thank you so much for joining.
Thanks.
All right. Noel, to get things started, I want to ask you, I was a little curious when I was kind of searching around the history of Cosmic Brands. Can you share the story behind founding Cosmic Brands in 2019 with a napkin sketch? What was your vision back then?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, 2019, cannabis became legal in Oklahoma medically. During that time, we had started a small grow operation and kind of some little, say, entry-level businesses into the industry. And I had ran into, at the time, a group of veterans up in North Oklahoma in the Tulsa area. We were kind of out just chatting with people and stuff. And I realized quickly at the time during my conversation that there was a vast majority of veterans that were looking at cannabis, exploring cannabis, and considering cannabis as an additive or an alternative to opioid usage in terms of this gentleman in particular had been blown up in a Humvee in Afghanistan. And one of his challenges was the amount of consumption he had to take that was represented by a large amount of edibles. So I kind of went to the drawing board after that. Cosmic Brands, you know, just from a branding standpoint, I've always been interested in space and all that kind of stuff. So we basically took the concept as where the black hole came from, where Cosmic Brands really got its name, which was 1,000 milligram bag, 100 milligram edible, and kind of bounced off that and in his ability to be able to use products that he could get the milligram level that he needed and wanted in a smaller amount when it comes to sugar and different kinds of, you know, products that you have to take where he had to eat 10 edibles previously, which now he could only eat one. So we went to the drawing board on that for about 4 or 5 months, threw away $100,000 worth of products, just trying to kind of figure it all out. And then that was one of our main staples in terms of a launch, as well as quite a few other products as well. But yeah, that's kind of really from a very finite standpoint in a moment in time where everything kind of came together. That's really what the driving factor was behind a lot of the motivations in our products and our unique approach to cannabis products in general.
And how that's a powerful story.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. You know, it's noble beginnings even. And, you know, you mentioned it slightly, but just your fascination with space. I too have a fascination with space. I'm obsessed with it. It's also terrifying. I wasn't planning to ask you about this, but kind of what was the idea with this like noble cause, but also deciding that it's going to be space as the marketing?
Yeah. So our kind of coined phrase in a sense is it started with explore kind of your limits, which was the higher milligram dosages in edibles. And that really bounced off the idea of exploring your space. So when it comes from a marketing standpoint, like I'm a very big advocate for people to be individual, be unique, be themselves. And, you know, cannabis is something that's very new in terms of a product and consumption and consumers and demographics and regions and locations, science, all these things are constantly developing. And I'm a firm believer in cannabis and what it can do for people, but also from a marketing standpoint, as an individual, people have different uses for cannabis. Mm-hmm. So the space theme is kind of this idea of who you are, no matter where you're at in terms of distance, time, space, you can be yourself because there's enough room for all of us. So finding your space is in essence the idea of who you are and where you fit in the cannabis space, and in finding products that relate to that. So
I love that. Yeah.
Giving
room. It's a great way to engage a brand and also to educate consumers at the same time, which is crucial at this stage of the industry. And it definitely has proven to be a good strategy because, I mean, you're expanding now to multiple states, including Michigan, Missouri, Nevada. So what is the strategy for scaling the business across different states and markets?
Yeah. So in the beginning, it was kind of a first to market push. You know, we went in and we did a market analysis on a lot of different states, and are out of the gate. It's price point. Obviously, you know, companies survive on their ability to drive revenue. And you have some of these markets that, you know, for lack of a long explanation, it's a race to the bottom in over a period of time. So it was identifying states, number one, that had good markets and that had good regulatory flows and a presence of a little bit of oversight, which helps combat a little bit of that speed to the bottom. And then milligram caps. So like what is the milligram cap within the state in terms of an individual piece, a bag, or just a product in general? And so in the beginning, that was really two of the main market analysis that we did on the states to launch. And those markets change over time, as they all do. They, in my opinion, change a little bit far more rapidly than I wish they would. But, you know, you evolve, you constantly stay in the fight and stay in the conversation and be engaged in community and talking about regulatory things and just different things that consumers and the state needs, and adapt and evolve as a company as best as you can.
Absolutely. Thank you for shedding light on that.
So with Cannabis Insider, we really like to dig deep into topics that maybe those who are not part of the business we can break down and kind of help them understand. So you're out of Oklahoma, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm in Missouri. It's a state that just legalized her, but it was, you know, only medically legal before. Now it's recreational. So Oklahoma is kind of, I mean, I know it's just medical, correct?
Correct.
So, you know, how does a company operate in states with those laws? What does that look like? Kind of what are the hurdles there with legalization in different states?
Yeah, so I think Oklahoma, you know, a lot of people in the industry know Oklahoma as the Wild West. It truly is the Wild West. You know, Oklahoma, when we launched, it was a little bit, you know, a lot of our laws and stuff here were boilerplate in a sense from other places. But the barrier to entry to be able to create a company in Oklahoma was far less. It was extremely capitalistic in the sense that, hey, if you had a very good, if you had a good background check and you met the qualifications in order to get a license, you know, $1,500, you could. Well, fast forward 4 years, 3 years, 5 years, you end up with, you know, 2,000 dispensaries, 3,000 grow licenses, and then which allows everybody to have an opportunity. The space for competition is extremely hard. So you have to be extremely innovative. You have to watch every penny. It forces you to be a true operator. You know, Cosmic Brands, we didn't start with any funding. We didn't have some, you know, massive PE come out or venture capitalist company or some guy with a huge wallet come out and say, you know, here's $10 million, let it rip. No, we started with the sale off of a bag, sale off of a product, and we grew organically and we learned organically, which I think is a huge testament to our success now, because evolving in environments that's super challenging makes you a little bit more hardened in terms of your ability to overcome obstacles. And what some people see as very, very big obstacles to overcome, just the pure nature of the state in the environment that we had to blossom out of, allowed us to go into these other states with a lot more organization, a lot more structure, and a lot more experience as it relates to market shifts and just different regulatory moves and competition in particular. So I could talk on that thing. I could talk on that for hours. I mean, it's kind of a wild, wild story. It's really cool. But yeah, I mean, it was not and has not been easy by any stretch of the imagination.
It sounds like it's been a process. And, you know, I've heard that, you know, 3 years in cannabis can feel like 10 because everything's changing. There's the constant change, but kind of switching over, I want to talk about the quality of the brand, consistency of products, kind of while scaling your operations out. So especially considering the rigorous testing they undergo, can you kind of like talk about that with the product?
Yeah, sure. So one thing that Cosmic Brands did and that we recognized is that our products are unique and that we want, as it relates to expanding outside of the state and not controlling our own manufacturing within the state, obviously is where we started. We wanted to, if you know, everybody can relate to, hey, the Big Mac's the Big Mac wherever you go, right? It's kind of the same theory, right? So what we did is we created a platform that's called KBU, Cosmic Brands University. And what this platform did is we spent a lot of time going through it and creating SOPs, creating training videos, creating standard operating procedures that are presented into our manufacturing partners as an educational process in which you get licensed or accredited in order to manufacture our products. So we take everybody through these processes as well as on-site training, off-site training. We bring all of our partners here and take them through our processes here so that everybody has that skill set in order to produce the exact same product everywhere you go. And we're very, 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 I can't even tell you, it's like almost one of our mission statements as a company is quality. Like we stand behind it. We're not trying to produce products that cut corners or sacrifice the integrity of number one, the product or our brand. And we want consumers to be confident in picking up our product anywhere at any point in time in any state and in any market. So hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, we want you to go into as much detail as possible because, you know, there are people who are tuning in that don't know anything about the industry, and that's what we're hoping to provide. So as much detail as you can go into about like just kind of how your brand works, please do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, your expertise on the industry really shines on your responses. So we really appreciate that level of detail. Yeah. And I mean, you just told you started your company as a small company that grew organically. And that journey took Cosmic Brands to new horizons. That I think for on all the interviews that I read that you may have already dreamed about these places where you're getting. So you in an earlier interview, you said you your big dream is to become a major player globally. Yeah. Do you have any plans on your international expansion or are there any challenges you foresee for that?
Yes.
I think there's a lot in that. Globally outside of the United States, a lot of these different markets, whether it be the European market, the South American market, even the Asian markets, they're all uniquely different. And collectively, they're different, but there are some similarities in terms of where they are in the progression of cannabis as a industry or cannabis as you could even kind of boil it up as a commodity within the state for consumers to be able to purchase, whether that be meta rec. The challenges is their fundamental lack of experience. So what we find is when we're going into these markets, we're really setting up things from the very get-go, like what is cannabis? What is sativa? What is indica? What is hybrid? And really training people and talking to people about the very fundamental entry level of what people now in the United States kind of take for granted just because of the years ahead. Like, you know, European markets, probably 3-4 years ahead. The South American market is the same. In early 2023, I flew down to Uruguay and met with some of the country officials and we toured some facilities and some incentives that they have as a country in order to educate a workforce that can perform within inside of the cannabis sector, whether that's processing, growing, you know, anything, everything from lab testing, and edibles production and just different types of production machinery and fixing things. And so we met with them. So on what I'm seeing in terms of a global outreach and in where we're pushing is that our challenge is just basically training people and kind of getting them like on the page of like, okay, let's start with manufacturing. Where we're currently looking at right now, we're pretty fastly obviously looking at some South American places. We have some African places that we're looking at as well. Probably first for us will be into the European markets. Spain in particular, Barcelona, we're looking pretty heavily at and have some pretty in-depth conversations going at there. But like I said, you know, it's walk before you run in all of these places, because I've seen it with a few other companies where they knee jerk, in particular in some of the Asian places where the total regulations completely change like overnight. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're pulling back out of the market, reassessing what you're even looking at. You've got a lot of capital deployed into these places, and then you don't have any way to monetize that investment. So not putting too many irons in the fire, I think, is the important thing. And just kind of just moving forward in an organized and thoughtful approach where we're not, you know, overcapitalizing in any of these, any one in particular market. Just focus on one, do it right, rinse, repeat, right?
Yeah.
Super clear. Thank you.
I think that's a similar sentiment that we've heard from other interviewees, is just kind of day by day, kind of, because, you know, regulations, rescheduling and all this, everything is changing constantly, day by day, week by week. And that brings me to, this question about rescheduling, it would not be a Cannabis Insider episode if we did not talk about this, but with all the buzz about rescheduling and policy change, has this kind of changed your mindset like recently on how Cosmic Brands moves forward with that? Or is this changed kind of plans going forward? Just what was your initial reaction? Can you tell us anything about any plans with that? Possible planning?
Yeah, totally. I'll say this. I have always planned for this to happen. And I've always thought that the asset heavy model was a great short-term idea, but kind of a long-term disadvantage. So as Cosmic Brands, we say asset light in terms of infrastructure. You have a lot of companies that are super vertically integrated within these states. They spent tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars to do all this stuff. And as a company or as a brand or as a corporation, you know, that creates a lot of operational overhead and it limits your ability to navigate very quickly and very fast. So as a brand, I have, and our team has decided to stay asset light and grow the brand as opposed to the infrastructure. That rolls into the question about deregulation. So if deregulation comes, Oklahoma in particular, as a state geographically located, is an ideal location for interstate commerce from a logistical standpoint. So we've really ramped up and kind of invested in the home base, even though there's like a diminishing, I don't want to say there's a diminishing return here. We haven't really reached that point, but it is a massive race to the bottom in terms of the price, massive price compression. But we're still investing on a home base with the plans of, you know, some deregulation coming. You've seen some talks about Oregon and California being able to do a little bit of interstate e-commerce and some back and forth stuff. So I think it's trickling forward at a very good pace. Time frame, you know, call it 10 years or so, even maybe quicker than that, 15 years, you're going to be looking at cannabis no differently than a lot of states regulate and manage the movement of alcohol. So from our perspective, we're growing the brand, we're setting up right relationships, we're working with people that are true operators and have a really good heart for the industry and really want good to happen in the industry for the collective of everybody. And just trying to, hold steadfast in that vision. And, you know, if it doesn't happen, I think we're still fine too. So.
Absolutely. Yes. And also, I guess, companies like yours will also benefit of the extra cash that a rescheduling will allow.
Never a bad thing.
Never a bad thing.
And just staying on regulation, I wanted to ask you, you just briefly mentioned the alcohol industries, and there's a lot of buzz going on also too about the possible convergence of the weed and cannabis industry. But in particular, I wanted to ask you a question around THCA and the recent DEA move to include THCA within the THC levels for hemp, which, I mean, this caused quite a stir last week. So I wanted to ask you if this will shake up the ongoing farm bill debate around Delta-8 THC impact on your company, or if it doesn't affect it at all, depending on the state, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to unpack just kind of in that, in terms of just if you just want to break it down to the farm bill, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm watching that it's kind of obviously left up to the state and what they as a state decide they'll allow within the confinements of the state to be sold. It's created challenging things. It's created challenges for us. We have a lot of, you know, knockoff products that have been buying our bags or our packaging or trying to knock off our packaging in other states. DHgate, you know, we've been, you know, from an IP perspective, it's created a lot of challenges in that regard. As a company, we really haven't had an internal push to develop products within that market per se. I don't know if it's like lackluster or what. It's just kind of one of those things that it's like a short-term gain for a long-term, I don't know what, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I like the lane that we're in. I don't want to try to, this isn't for me. It's not a cash grab. It's about creating a good grand, creating a good brand, creating good products, creating good job opportunities for people within our country or within our company and what and who our company is involved with, and making sure that we as a company are putting ourselves in a situation where we're relying heavily on something that is so finicky in a sense, and it can change. You know, a lot of companies are doing it right now. I mean, I can remember multiple conferences that I've been back, been at a lot of the investment heads of, you know, some of these big venture capitalist companies, you know, talk about, hey, you know, we're looking at companies that are diversifying into this, you know, it's a revenue driver, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, but it also comes with risk, because in those industries, you have a substantially less likelihood of getting a product, or you have a more likelihood of getting a product with a lower quality on it, just for the mere fact that it's not watched or regulated as much. So you don't really know what's in some of these products. And a lot of these companies and guys and different people after cash grabs are cutting massive corners. And I think it's not a good look, and it's not from a consumer standpoint. You know, you got to question, you know, what you're putting in your body constantly. And we hold ourselves to a standard that, you know, I'm not going to cut corners just to get a buck. You know what I mean?
I completely
understand that as a consumer myself. I lived in Kansas for a little bit. And so sometimes it was exactly that. What in a state that it's not legalized in, and Delta 8 was very big in Kansas. It was definitely kind of rolling the dice occasionally on how are you going to feel from a product? Scary times. There are great companies out of Kansas, but definitely.
No harm and foul to anybody that sees it as an opportunity and is chasing it. I know there's some companies out there that are doing really well in this space and creating some pretty awesome products with high quality, but there's also a lot that aren't. We'll see.
It's good to highlight. It's good to kind of point that out for consumers as well. And now moving away from regulation, moving in to a topic that we kind of already skimmed over, but I want to go into depth with this. So Cosmic Brands has partnered with Hero Grown Foundation to support military and first responders. Can you kind of tell us a little bit more about this initiative and its impact that it's had so far?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of takes us all the way back to the beginning of, you know, kind of where we came from and some of the products that were developed out of an experience that I had with someone, which has really been a lot of the driving force. I mean, whether it be, you know, a military wounded vet, someone with PTSD, or just a mom that's being stressed, or, you know, someone that needs a little reprieve in a way, whatever the medical condition may be or whatever the social condition may be. I'm a firm believer that, like, you know, like I said, everybody has the opportunity to approach cannabis how they see fit for them. And in terms of the veterans, the homegrown heroes, like, it was an opportunity for me to really sink our teeth as a company into a really reputable stand-up group of people that have a great initiative for veterans. Mm-hmm. We won a Clio award on it, which was pretty cool. We're going to continue to do stuff like that as a company. It's like, we're always looking for an opportunity to be involved with, you know, military veterans. It doesn't matter. Like, if, you know, if you're a good group of people and you have a good, wholesome heart and you're after something good in life, like, we're there with you. Like, you know what I mean? So,
I absolutely know what you mean. You mentioned this at the beginning too, about just kind of using cannabis as an alternative from opioids. And I'm in the middle of the country too. An incredibly big issue, I think, that we see here. So I think it's really honorable to try to help in any way, kind of for a more, I guess some would say, natural, more herbal solution.
Yeah, totally. And I think too, just these initiatives and partnering with really good organizations and really, really good philanthropic groups allows for an opportunity for more education. I mean, you know, that's a fundamental barrier, I think, in terms of what a lot of brands are dealing with right now. It's just consumer education. And all the cannabis people kind of understand these inner workings of what all these cannabinoids are and what they mean and what they do, and terpenes, and, you know, all these different mixed mates and matches of things. But, you know, you've got to think, there's 330 million people in the United States, and I can't even imagine that cannabis. I've looked at numbers, but we haven't even really tapped what the potential of cannabis is. So, and it's breaking the barrier down for people to be able to be educated enough to take a chance and try something different. Mm-hmm. And I think as a brand, and as big brands have the ability to partner with people like that, like I said, it's also an opportunity to educate a little bit more and engage people in the industry that might not have ever engaged in the industry, and be like, hey, well, you know, maybe this is the place for me. You know, maybe I can try something low milligram dosage, and I'm not going to have the experience I had in, you know, college, or, you know, whenever you tried it and it was a bad experience, you know.
It definitely is a story you hear a lot. It's just like, it's not for me, but it is the Wild West of cannabis right now. And there's a lot of new terms being thrown. So education seems incredibly important.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I couldn't agree more. And with the comparison we were just making about the way the cannabis industry is growing, and compared to alcohol, I mean, there's a huge opportunity for educating customers at the same time we grow the market. So congratulations for that. And finally, I mean, we really thank you for your time and your comprehensive answers. We wanted to make you just one last question and ask you if you want to share any sneak peeks or any new product launches or initiatives your team is currently working on.
Yeah. You know, we're always working on kind of crazy stuff, for the lab back there is always moving. You know, we're looking to expand a little bit more of our product offering in terms of the edibles line. We just launched vapes in Missouri, New Mexico, and Massachusetts recently. So that's kind of a really cool thing that we've diversified into. Our specialty line, I would tell people, be on the lookout for our specialty line, which is those unique curated, you know, peanut butter and jelly, banana gammas, caramel apple, like, kind of really unique. I call them the Willy Wonka flavors because they're just kind of crazy. And we like that, right? Because that's, to me, is a barrier to entry for someone that's like, hey, you know, this is kind of unique. We're diversifying that line tenfold, as well as other lines that you know, have some effect based different stuff, a little bit more minors and cannabinoid makeups. A lot on the horizon. We've been fortunate to partner with a lot of really, really great people and great operators. And, you know, it's just the beginning for us.
Well, that's absolutely amazing. And Cameron, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. Come back anytime. And until next time.
Appreciate it, guys.
Okay, and that wraps up another episode of Cannabis Insider. Thank you to Cameron for bringing us into the cosmic universe and sharing his expertise on cannabis edibles and product innovation.
Man, I love that episode. I also love space, so that marketing premise is fantastic. But yes, as Pato said, thank you all for tuning in. To all our listeners out there, thank you for listening. Stay connected with us on social media for the latest and greatest in the cannabis industry, and stay knowledgeable, stay green, and until next time.
See you soon. We'll be right back.